AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Monday. Good to be with you today on a stunning day. Warm out there. Actually, I turned the AC on for the first time. Brett, I have failed. Once again, it's that Minnesota thing. I think I did pretty good. 2 weeks between heat being on and air conditioning being on. But it usually is a day-night sort of thing.
I turned mine on last night.
Did you? It was not a pleasant
night. There's nothing wrong with AC in May. It's in April where it seems a little early to me.
Well, usually it goes from, hey, the heat's off, to, hey, turn the AC on, like that. Like Thanos clicking his fingers. There you go. We, of course, have brought back here a Democrat of the day. Today, we are going into the Minnesota governor's race. One of the candidates running for the DFL nomination is Rebecca Otto, and she is kind enough to join us today to talk about how her campaign is going so far. State Auditor, how are you today?
I am fantastic. It's warm outside, and we've got some blue sky. No, this is what we wait for, right? All winter long. We've got this beautiful warm weather. My AC is not on because I don't have any.
Well, you are lucky. It is amazing how it does. It does take a few hours between the heat and the AC, making sure that's ready to go. I imagine you are definitely loving this weather because you have been just everywhere in the state. Where are you at right now, if I can ask?
Oh God. I am sitting in a parking lot in the metro area.
Okay.
in between, because I have my day job. And anyway, and so I'm still doing that as well as traveling. And this weekend was mostly metro area, if I recall correctly. But yeah, it really, these campaigns take you all over the state. And when you're the candidate, they drag you around and you do a good job every time you go out and you know what I mean? So it's been busy, but it's really going really, really well.
You know, it's the Wellstone mentality. It is the idea of getting out and getting into the communities and going out there, because I think that they're, once people get to see, especially for DFL candidates, when it goes statewide, I mean, there's a lot of negativity. I mean, a lot of small town papers, small town radio stations have a definitive conservative tilt to them. So all of a sudden, when someone like yourself shows up and you're at the Legion Hall or you're at the parade and you're there and you're willing to sit down and talk with people, it really does a tremendous amount to show people that the narrative they might have heard about the DFL in outstate is definitively not the reality of it all.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think that having served now for almost 12 years statewide and working with local officials around the state, including township supervisors, fire chiefs, volunteer firefighters, the list goes on and on. They know me, I know them. And I'll tell you what, we all want a roof over our head, food on our table, and our health. And that doesn't, you know, that those these are basic, these basic fundamental pieces that we all need regardless of geography or party. And, you know, some of our rural communities are struggling. And the Republicans have this whole big narrative around, you know, Democrats don't care about the people in the rural areas. We absolutely do. Yeah. That's why my campaign is going so darn well, because it's a bread and butter agenda. Bread and butter agenda is, you know, that's something that we all need. We need economic opportunity. We need to keep that roof over our head, food on our table. And then finally, health and healthcare is one of the, again, doesn't matter where you live. We're all struggling with trying to make sure we can keep healthcare, that it's affordable. And it's a constant moving target. And that's why I've got a plan to get to single payer healthcare. And it doesn't have to be my plan. It's whatever plan we can get done. But lives depend on us getting the insurance companies out of the way, making sure everybody's covered, that it's not tied to your job anymore. I mean, yeah. It's being done around the world and having better outcomes and lower costs. So that's resonating everywhere.
No.
Because we all struggle with it, you know, and it shouldn't be a struggle.
No, and once again, your point about not tying this to your employment, that's something the rest of the world has kind of figured out. That's a really bad way to deliver the system, and especially in the day and age when people don't work. My grandfather worked for 50 years for Ford and got the gold watch in the retirement party, but that was about the last time anyone did. I mean, people just – they move around jobs, and having a healthcare system which is contingent on the employee-employer relationship is really actually a bad delivery system.
It really is, and I don't think that until we get away from it, people can be like, oh my gosh, did we really used to do that? But if you could imagine having freedom from fear of losing your health care, and if you're in a union, can you imagine like not having to negotiate around health care, just wages and benefits? Let's get that thing off the table, and then we get to make better life decisions. So you don't have to stay in a job that you don't like because you're doing it just for your healthcare. You don't have to keep working. You can retire when it's appropriate because, you know, people are still working because they're like, I can't give up my healthcare. It's not sustainable. It's not affordable. It's fragmented, inefficient. And frankly, there are people making money off of our health, like, you know, insurance companies. That's got to stop. Mm-hmm. So we've got a pathway to do this thing. And you know what else? We'll unleash the innovators, people who've stayed in jobs just because they have to. Let's let them do something they want to do. Remove that healthcare barrier. People will start starting businesses. We're going to attract the innovators so we can attract industry. If we have to do this alone as a state, move to single payer healthcare alone, well, so be it. But we're going to have a lot of industry locating here. So it's all about improving people's lives, and our Healthy Minnesota plan is going over quite well statewide.
Rebecca Otto joining us, one of the candidates running for the DFL nomination for governor in the state of Minnesota, Democrat of the day. Let's talk a little bit about something you mentioned briefly earlier, in that we have to look at, you know, the future. We cannot wallow in the kind of past. We have to look at jobs and creating opportunity for that is more future-based. When you're looking at the governor's position, we've got a federal government right now that's run by a bunch of clowns that want to go back to the days of coal and you know, strip mining and stuff like this. You might as well go back to Big Horseshoe at the time if you want to know the truth. The reality is we're going to need a state leader that's going to be able to just kind of thumb their nose at whatever the Republicans and the federal government are pushing forward, and pushing forward for the idea that's I'm going to set up for you, the 15-5-2 plan that you've got on your website here. It's not only a minimum wage increase, but it's that 2 years of free college, I think, is an incredibly important element that's going to really bring, especially in rural communities where there is not as much opportunity, bring Minnesota into that 21st century, into the 22nd century as well, as far as potential employment and work opportunities.
You are so, like, you hit the nail right on the head there. So we need the workforce of the 21st century, and we need the jobs of the 21st century, not the 19th century, not the 20th century, 21st century. And the thing is that's the governor's job, to be the visionary, not to rest on our laurels, the visionary. Work is getting outsourced, automated, and they're chasing cheaper labor. So what's next for Minnesota? And what I say is next is first, give everybody a quality of opportunity, 2 years tuition free, vocational, community college, or state university in the Minnesota state system. So, and we can train the workers of the 21st century and tell our employers we're going to have the workforce of the 21st century. It's good for all of us. We all win. But the other piece is coal is 19th century. 21st century is clean energy. So I got a plan to get us to a place where we can create a 250,000 good paying jobs that can be unionized, that support families, and that are 21st century jobs. Those can be ours, and we don't have to raise taxes to do it. So that's what I'm running on. Workforce of the 21st century, jobs of the 21st century. And then where are you going to want to live as a young person? In a state that's smart and forward thinking, or in a state that's not? We've got to be smart and forward thinking. And that's the job of the governor candidate. And we've got an exciting vision that Minnesotans helped build. We've empowered Minnesotans to take their government back in the tradition of Paul Wellstone, and to make sure that we are truly improving people's lives, not just the bottom line of big industry.
Well, I mean, the way the Republicans are going, we're going to get back to making sales before too much longer, and mast work and horse and carriages, because that's where their future lies. But for us, we have to start looking at this in that kind of the real world, because there are countries where this is where they're going. They're already anticipating this and driving their entire educational system towards that point of the future economy.
Absolutely. And you know what? The financial markets are already responding, and some people are going to be left behind. So for instance, people are like, oh, electric vehicles, pie in the sky. Oh, no, not pie in the sky. The car companies are all pumping them out. They're all changing. If you talk to financial experts, they'll tell you that the 19th and 20th century technology around, you know, coal and oil, everything's changing. And in it, the reason is because the price point is right. Big wind is cheaper than coal. Big solar is becoming cheaper than coal. And I've got an electric vehicle. You can lower your living costs by not having to put gas into your car all the time, not having to change the oil as much. And the infrastructure is going in around the state. This is not a new concept. My husband can drive all over the state in his pure electric vehicle and around the country. Infrastructure is here. So, and we can help Minnesotans and empower them to lower their utility costs, whether they are in an apartment building or in a single family home. So for me, it's all about hope, optimism, improving people's lives, lowering living costs, healing the planet, improving health outcomes. Who would reject that?
Well, I mean, And you've always championed, and one of the things I love about you is you champion the solar energy. I just reading a great article. It was actually some of the new solar panels they've created are actually the most cost-efficient form of energy you can have, period, which is a really big sign. And that's, you know, that's just common sense. I mean, we can't just keep burning fossil fuels. Nuclear is probably not a great option either on some levels. But solar, guess what? I mean, pretty much everyone can use it. And in some communities, in some states, in some countries, the solar power has basically been able to offset their entire carbon footprint.
Well, and there's even a small town in Texas that is very Republican, but they get it. They've harnessed the clean energy economy and they're living the dream. I'm telling you, it's not a partisan issue. This is about our future and this is about protecting our climate. And this is economic based. Like, this is the financial markets get it. Wall Street gets it. So Minnesota, let's not lose out on that opportunity. Mm-hmm. We should be on the cutting edge of the clean energy economy. We should be doing the research and development, finding the new opportunities, reducing costs, exporting our products. We should be manufacturing and exporting our products and our people and expertise. So that's a vision I have. And it's not the only thing, but it will transform what we are doing. It'll provide opportunity across the state.
You've been out traveling across the state. Rebecca Otto, once again, joining us, one of the candidates running for the DFL nomination for governor. I want to bring up a current topic here, which I imagine is going to start resonating and resonating hard in the farming communities of the state. The story was that China right now, because of this trade spat that they're having with Trump, has basically stopped ordering American-based soybean product, whether that's soybean oil, soybeans themselves. And they're actually looking towards Argentina, Brazil as their main suppliers, even India to a point. Obviously, this is something I know a lot of rural Minnesota went for Trump, but I don't believe they went for Trump thinking they were going to put their farms out of business. Talk a little bit about that, because I imagine there are ripples that are starting to get out there that if the Chinese market goes away, especially for our soybean product and sorghum as well, that this is going to, you know, this is going to be a concern, because where is that emerging market that will then take the product?
Well, so you know what? So what's interesting is, and it's really sad, frankly, is that this is being layered upon stress that's already happening in our farm communities and for our family farmers. So a couple of years ago, there was some cash flow issues for our farmers generally, which put stress on. And it's because of a variety of factors. This last year, we had commodity price issues, layering that on top of cash flow issues. So we have a lot of family farmers who are hurting, who, frankly, we've had some suicides in our farm community. So as Minnesotans, we have to care about our farmers because they do grow our food. And this is just going to layer another bad thing on top of the stress they're already experiencing. So I don't know that they're going to be voting for Donald Trump again. And they'll, you know, he made a lot of promises that he never intended to keep. And Minnesotans they're smart. They might be nice, but they're smart. And I don't think they're going to do the same thing twice. So right now, what we need to do is make sure that we're there for our farmers in every way. I serve on the Rural Finance Authority Board. There's some really good efforts going on right now with hotlines for our farmers if they are in crisis. We have other programs where we're trying to shore them up and save them. But the stress is real. Mm-hmm. And what's really unfortunate is Donald Trump doesn't understand that these are people's lives and their living and their ability to be prosperous that he's putting on the line with his, I can't even describe what he's doing. But anyway, he's in a powerful position and he's creating a lot of havoc for a lot of people. So at the end of the day, as governor for myself, one of the things I want to do for our farmers is not make them try to engage in the insurance industry anymore, trying to get healthier for their families. I want our farmers to be able to focus on farming, not have to go off farm for insurance, you know, for all kinds of things. So we want to make sure we're supporting family farmers, that we, because they are small business and they're part of strong local economies, and make sure they can be competitive. Some things need to happen at the federal level for them around crop insurance for our smaller family farms, because everything's about big ag and we got to change that direction. But anyway, long and the short of it, there's issues out there right now and we need to support our farmers.
And I'll tell you what it is. It's a monopoly. Trump's got a monopoly board game version of trade. He doesn't understand the concepts and the intricacies of it. And, his stupidity and bravado are going to end up, I think, costing us in the long run. That's for sure. So I think, obviously, there's a lot we can do there to try to help offset the farming industry. But I want to get one final question to you here in regards to – we saw you at the Blue State Ball. We also had you on the air back when there were six candidates. Back, I think it was late November, early December, we had you on the air. Since that time, what issue Since the last time we talked to you, what issue has come to mind that was not on your agenda, but now has realized, you know what, this has got to be part of my main goal at this point?
Well, you know what? So we've kind of been rolling out this Renew Minnesota agenda. We have one coming really soon on local economies, you know, local communities and the strength of our communities. And it's going to address a whole bunch of issues. So it's not that it's not been on the table. It's on the table. We haven't released it. There's another one coming on education. But what I would say is that single payer healthcare, the fight for $15 an hour, 2 years tuition free, going after climate change in a really aggressive way while creating good jobs, hits so many different notes for people, and it's the right agenda. But we also have to make sure that we are getting at the racial injustice issues that we have, and the lack of economic opportunity for all Minnesotans, overhauling the criminal justice system. So there's a, Matt, you shouldn't have asked me the question because it's a long answer. But with Pawlenty, we've had plenty of Tim Pawlenty. That's what's come up since then, probably. And we don't need his Wall Street, D.C. kind of politics in our state and the politics of unfettered greed. We got to focus on the common good. And so that has reinvigorated the conversation, and everyone understands the importance of 2018.
Absolutely. It is going to be interesting. I'm actually have some doubts whether or not he'll even make it out of the Republican primary, if you want to know the truth. This is the point where I want to drive you to go help out. I mean, if once again, we have a primary that's going to go on, Tim Walz, Aaron Murphy, Rebecca Otto, you know, find out about the candidates. If you go to Rebecca Otto's site, you can find out about her issues. RebeccaOtto.com, RebeccaOtto.com. I'll link to everything later on. She has her issues there. You can donate, you can volunteer, and you can endorse Rebecca Otto at her website. And once again, it's a great time to volunteer because, as you mentioned, the weather's a lot nicer out, so door knocking is a lot more pleasant.
Oh, yeah, for sure. There's all kinds of fun things you can do on a campaign.
Absolutely. Rebecca Otto, thank you very much. I know you're very busy. Thank you so much for the time. I really do appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
My pleasure. Rebecca Otto is the DFL, one of the DFL candidates running for the endorsement to be governor of the state of Minnesota. She's kind enough to join us as Democrat of the Day for your Monday. Well, let's take a break. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Tap Taste and Treasure at Vinaigrette, where we have some warm seasonal recipes all ready to create dynamite meals. Our fig balsamic vinegar pairs perfectly with roasted Brussels sprouts or baked brie. And sweet potatoes are always a winner, but never more than when they're roasted with a drizzle of vinaigrette cinnamon or orange-fused extra virgin olive oil on top. Come in today for more custom-crafted food and cocktail recipes at Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Hi, this is Kirk Duckwall with the House Geeks Real Estate Show on AM 950, sponsored by Bricks Real Estate. If you're thinking of selling your home, check us out at housegeeks.com. With over 250 sales last year, we would love to help you sell your home too. Contact us today and see how our listings sell faster and for up to 8.9% more than the Twin Cities market average, potentially netting you thousands more in your pocket. Again, go to housegeeks.com today.
Mother's Day in the Twin Cities means Mother's Day Buffet at the Park Tavern. On May 13th, treat mom to herb-crusted beef with béarnaise sauce, tortellini with champagne cream sauce, grilled salmon with pesto, eggs benedict, breakfast and lunch sides, appetizers, salads, and desserts. Mom even gets a free mimosa and a carnation. Seatings are from 10 a.m. till 3 p.m. $21.95 for adults, seniors are $14.95, kids are $10.95, and 5 and under are free. And don't forget the hour of free bowling. On Louisiana Avenue, north of Highway 7 in St. Louis Park, Sunday the 13th, enjoy Mother's Day with the Park Tavern.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is having their annual service special. Every stove, insert, and fireplace needs maintenance. Get it done now and save $40. You'll be ready to fire up before the cold weather hits again. From 94, take the Riverside Avenue exit and go east to 2901 Franklin Avenue. See the Twin Cities' most diverse selection of clean-burning, reliable, and environmentally smart stoves and fireplaces.
Hi, I'm Peter Solak, owner of Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. Have you ever watched your dog or cat curl up in front of a fire, like a Norman Rockwell painting brought to life, it's primordial the way fire touches both the animal and the human. We have the equipment and the know-how to supply, install, and maintain stoves and fireplaces. Call us at 612-338-6606 and take advantage of our spring cleaning and maintenance special. We are online at woodlandstoves.com. The mission and the passion of Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is to make the fire work for you.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Spotlight that one. Rebecca Otto, Democrat of the Day today. Just an FYI for everyone out there. If you're a fan of Tim Walz, you're a fan of Aaron Murphy. The invites have been made. I do have Aaron Murphy scheduled for later on this month. Tim Walz have yet to hear back from, but once again, they're all going to be welcome here. If there's a primary on the Democratic side, I'm going to make sure we have time for them for Democrat of the Day. But just fantastic to talk to Rebecca Otto. And Brett, you let me know about this story. Lori is up watching the Facebook page. Hello, Facebook. It's radio for your eyes. If you go to the Facebook page for AM 950 Radio, you can watch the show. Loved hearing my friend Rebecca Otto. She's a great lady. She literally has run out in the interstate to save stranded animals. One time she did in the freezing rain after dark on her way home from St. Paul. I know because she called me when she was in the middle of it. This is a tons about the heart of the person. We need her as governor. Well, thank you very much, Lori, for your comment on that. Once again, I encourage you, in the case of when we do a Democrat of the Day and if we have a primary going on there, find out about all the candidates, make your call there. And needless to say, vote blue come November, regardless. I think that's the case.
I was just kind of thinking about Scott Walker on the other side of the river and how he treats animals that are on the road.
Well, this last time I was in Wisconsin, I think they carcass count on the side of the road in Wisconsin, just driving to Wapaka was, what, 22?
Yeah, so just, Rebecca Otto saves the animals. And Scott Walker
he's apparently turning him into jerky on the side of the road, I guess. I'm not quite sure. Can I make a point? Okay, so this weekend, did you have a nice weekend?
I did, yeah. Great weekend. How about you?
Busy, as always. My son got confirmed. We were over at the Basilica, which was nice. Then we went. I did a masquerade cruise. I had a little mask and everything, which I decided not to drive wearing the mask because I didn't want to look like I was heading out to, you know, fight crime. You know, who is that guy? As I always said, it's so nice to not only use these masks for my kinky sex rituals. Now I can actually wear it for a party. So it was nice. We went and cruised St. Paul, the river downtown in St. Paul. Just spectacular. Very nice cruise we did on Saturday night. And then we did spring cleaning on Sunday. Part of the reason why we did that on Sunday is because I didn't want to go anywhere near freaking downtown. I want to make a point about this construction. I understand you've got deals and you want to try to get this stuff done. And I mean, it's a tough business. This is not about whether or not road closures can happen. Everyone accepts that. That's just part of the deal. But you had an insane amount of traffic trying to take secondary roads. We're trying to, because as well, Lindale and Hennepin northbound, right next to where 94 goes into the Lowry Hill Tunnel, so right by the Walker and the Sculpture Garden, that was closed down too. So all these people are coming off the highway. And if you don't know the back routes to get around Loring Park there and get back down south via that route to get back onto the highway at some point, the only way you could go was through basically a parking lot by that baseball field that's right by the Walker Sculpture Garden. There's a baseball field there. You cut through the parking lot, and then I had to cut through residential roads to get back onto Hennepin and Lindale so you could get back on the highway. That's just dumb. I mean, to say it was a mess is an understatement. And, you know, I was down there in downtown Minneapolis with the confirmation at the Basilica. And so all these, I mean, I'm a city guy. I drive around the city quite a bit. I feel I'm pretty good. I did metro traffic for many years. I was flabbergasted. I have not seen a series of missteps in the closure that bad in a while. And so you have all these people that are coming from these kind of more, you know, suburban outer suburb churches that are coming into the Basilica for this. That was just a mess. And, you guys, I think there, I saw this where I lived last year with the closure of 169 for while they took the Nine Mile Creek Bridge out. And they basically were some times where other construction was going on at the same time that made things even worse. I think there's got to be a better job at communicating on this stuff. And you can't have, you know, if there's four routes from one point A to point B and you shutting down three of them, when you're routing people through a parking lot to get them around a traffic zone, what are we, freaking Des Moines? Come on. We're better than that, aren't we? You got to have something better. You've got to have something better. I was flabbergasted at how bad it was. It was backed up onto 394. And, you know, and once again, there's a lot of people that are coming in, might be coming in for, you know, whether it was that, you know, the confirmation at the Basilica, which was a smaller event. But, I mean, there's things going all over the place. If you don't know your way around and all of a sudden they're directing you into a parking lot. That was just, I was really kind of disappointed. We're better than that. We should not have that as our standard of our detour. Take a left at the dumpster. When you see the guy spinning the tax arrow, drive past him and then up. It looks like an alleyway behind. Well, it actually is an alleyway behind the houses, but you got to cut through there. And then eventually you'll come on out behind the dumpster at the Caribou. But there you go. There's your official detour route.
And you ask Frank if you can turn a right on this street.
Frank's a good guy. Just you make sure you're not blocking off the driveway. Frank's a good guy. We talked to Frank last week. You got to do a better job than this. I mean, I get it. Stuff has to be done, but either you need to be doing that stuff in the middle of the night, or else you need to have a conversation with other people about what routes can and cannot be closed down. Because there's also, once again, I think with the route to some of the ramps were closed down, so people were coming on 394 and having to get off at Penn and turn around back on Penn.
I tried to go to St. Paul. You can't get on 94 from 394.
When I went to the cruise on Saturday night, I just completely avoided downtown. I went and shot south. I went cross town to 110, cut over to 35E. So that was the way to go. I had a lot of people that were taking 494 because that's how bad it was. You've sent people 20 miles out of the downtown to get around it because the traffic is so nightmarish. And when people are asking, how do I get back over to St. Paul? Because they wanted to go over after the cruise and wanted to go out and hang out. I just said, university and deal with it. And that's university and deal with it. Good luck. Bring provisions. There's some stores on the way. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Take a break. Come on back. It's not a love affair with Tim Pawlenty. It is not a love affair with Tim Pawlenty. Righty row. I'll talk about that when we come back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman. You know, Continental Diamond is special for a lot of reasons. The owners are Jimmy and Helene Pessis, a husband and wife team who had a dream to open their own store more than 30 years ago. They've built a business that is the gold standard. The readers of Minnesota Bride Magazine have named Continental Diamond the best jeweler for the last 7 years. Why? Amazing, friendly, no-pressure customer service, a selection of fine diamonds and design jewelry unlike anywhere else, and the fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies are pretty great, too. Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul is a perfect choice for breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week, offering daily fresh seafood specials, fire-roasted meats, exquisite pizza, and half-price bottles of wine on Mondays and Tuesdays, except on Xcel Energy Center event nights. Once you experience their cozy fireside dining, extensive wine list, and bar, you'll be back for more. Gift certificates available, located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking, or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
Hello, this is Ellen Krug with Hidden Edges Radio on Sundays from 1 to 2 p.m. Join me this Sunday, Mother's Day, where I'll interview a Korean adoptee about what it means to be adopted in America and what it means to have a relationship between her and her adoptive parents. It'll be a fascinating and interesting interview. I hope you can join me. Hidden Edges Radio, challenging, passionate, perspective-changing on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for sunny skies today with a high near 84. Tonight, clear with a low around 56. Tuesday, showers and storms with a high near 73. And Wednesday, more rain with a high around 69. If you're still looking for a place to take mom for Mother's Day, check out one of the great Eat Local Minnesota restaurants. They feature high-quality food and unique eating experiences with some of the great dining options, including Cafe Latte, Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club, and the Great Wall Restaurant. Find a full list of restaurants at eatlocalminnesota.com.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Indeed, it is. It's Mom's Day this weekend. Cannot miss Mom's Day, especially if you're like me, the husband with three kids. Because, you know, I'm just going to be honest with you, 16, 13, and 10, they're just absolute crap at planning. But, it's Mom's Day!
Yeah, can't go to the gas station and just pick something up there for Mom's Day.
Dad, why don't you just make something for her? Okay, she's not my mother! This is on you! I already sent mine a nice card. This is on you. So what you need to do is go to eatlocalminnesota.com. You will want to get reservations because some of these restaurants might have a special event going on. So call ahead, find out what's going on there, and get your reservations for Mom's Day. It is eatlocalminnesota.com, eatlocalminnesota.com. Great restaurants throughout the metro area. Go out and enjoy. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. All right, who's ready for Sex Talk with former governor of Minnesota, Tim Pawlenty? Hi there. Who would like to see me do a dance and get you all rowdy, excited-wise? It is me, Tim Pawlenty, ready to dance for you to get you salivating for the sweet, sweet love I'm going to deliver. Good. I can't do that anymore. Well, not everyone's looking for a lap dance from Tim Pawlenty, believe it or not, including his former lieutenant governor, Carol Molnow. I haven't done Molnow's voice in a while. that's an oldie but a goodie right there.
Does she actually have a voice that you do for her?
I did Carol Molnow.
Sounds like a Muppet kind
of voice. Looks like Gypsy from Mystery Science Theater 3000. Yeah. Hi, Mike. Anyway. Mary Jo Peel, who we've had on this show, I love you, dear. You're fantastic. Former Lieutenant Governor Carol Molnow. Now, let's just go back memory road if we can. Carol is a person who was a Lieutenant Governor. They decided not to hire someone to run the Minnesota Department of Revenue, or excuse me, Minnesota Department of Transportation. Minnesota Department of Transportation. They said that the Lieutenant Governor didn't have to sit on her caboose all day, that she could basically run the Department of Transportation with basically no experience in transportation management whatsoever. Not only that, but Carol Molnow hated metro area. She hated us. She hated us with the fire of a million suns. She couldn't stand us. She couldn't stand the highways. She couldn't stand the mass transportation. This is why the genius that is Carol Molnow, if you remember correctly, she wanted to shut down the Crosstown Commons, where Crosstown and 35W hit, just south of downtown Minneapolis. The reason why that needed to be rebuilt was because there were not enough lanes coming in from all directions, so they had to rebuild it so that the traffic wasn't backed up, 10 miles in every direction coming into the Commons. Carol Molnow was the brain trust that came up with the idea of shutting the thing down for 4 years, reopening it with the same exact amount of lanes available. When the 35W bridge collapsed, I've never seen a person skirt their responsibility more in my life than Carol Molnow did. She just basically didn't, I was in a meeting and I didn't realize this was important. And it was just disgusting. And then she puts forward the first plan, the first schematic for the 35W bridge rebuild, and there is no way to expand it for future lane construction or mass transportation. It was just because she wanted to build a county bridge out in the across the Mississippi River. I mean, like seriously, like it was just some, you know, we're going to get some logs and we're going to tie them together and lash them about. It was the dumbest damn plan ever. And remember, she had a callback. And then, of course, out of shame, she resigned the Department of Transportation position. And they put someone with, oh, I don't know, experience in managing transportation systems in charge of MnDOT. God forbid. That person. So in case you're wondering, I don't have any love lost for Carol Molnow. But Carol Molnow doesn't seem to have any love lost for Tim Pawlenty either. Former Lieutenant Governor Carol Molnow has endorsed a Republican running for governor, but it's not the one you'd think. Molnow endorsed Hennepin County Commissioner Jeff Johnson on Friday. She served from 2003 to 2011 as the second command of former Governor Tim Pawlenty, who is also running for his old job. Molnow says she considers Johnson the most electable Republican running. Asked if she thought Pawlenty shouldn't get the job again, she said, "I just haven't thought about Mr. Pawlenty at all." Wow.
That's cold.
That is cold. So you're saying your working relationship was really good when you were together at the Capitol, which should basically, by the way, if this isn't another big red flag for you Republicans in regards to is Tim Pawlenty electable? Yeah, it'll be interesting when Carol Molnow is doing ads for the DFL on that side.
Could you imagine Biden saying, "Well, I haven't thought of Obama."
The guy who is this guy?
He was his lieutenant governor for 8 years, and she hasn't thought about it.
It's a campaign jab at the former two-term governor who formally entered the race last month. A Pawlenty campaign spokesman did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Johnson says Molnow will work with his campaign on agricultural issues and on the campaign trail. All right. Will Tim Pawlenty win the Republican nomination? There seems to be enough Republicans who are smart enough to realize the guy that left the state in a $6 billion hole the last time he was governor, the guy that, along with that $6 billion failure, also just shifted the entire education budget into a future fiscal cycle just to get it off the books so his real budget nightmare wasn't what it was going to be, like $9 billion? That was the whole point of it. He didn't want to have a $9 billion hole, so that's why he shifted the education budget into a future fiscal cycle. And then the guy who basically spent the last 8 years hobnobbing with Wall Street bigwigs for corporate interests. I don't think the Republican Party is looking to snuggle up to Teapaw. And I'm dead serious. I don't think he's going to win it. I mean, that CD3 straw poll was a real eye-opener because that was, a week and a half after Pawlenty had announced. And usually, if you're going to get a big bounce right away, well, it usually happens right away. He finished 30 points behind Johnson. And I don't think Johnson can win this thing. I don't. He's about as charismatic as a sponge cake. I mean, he really has got, he's not exactly Johnny personality. It doesn't seem like a bad guy. I disagree with him on politics. He doesn't seem like a bad guy. He doesn't have the personality. I don't think he could win a governor's race, but he has been putting in the time, and as a Republican, he is liked pretty much by all, I'm not going to say all elements. I mean, the far right elements of the Republican Party out here do not like Johnson that much, but most of the rest of the party does. And if you have the choice of going with, let's face it, let's just call it what it is. On one side, you have Tim Pawlenty, the guy that took you to the dance and basically left with someone else wanting to take you to the next dance. And Jeff Johnson, the guy who's been sitting on your doorstep ringing the doorbell saying, "Well, if you don't have anyone else to take you to the dance, I'll take you to the dance." Well, which one do you want to trust? Carol Molnow's made her choice. "I'm ready to go to the dance." she has. I just don't think Tim Pawlenty's going to win it. I mean, it's Coleman. Okay, so this was a question that was asked to me. If Norm Coleman announced he would run for governor, would that be a different vibe than Pawlenty? I think it would be.
I think he might do worse than Tim Pawlenty.
You do?
Yeah, I think he would be even more unpopular than Pawlenty.
The problem with here's where I disagree. Now, and I can be wrong. I mean, you've multiple times, you know, pantsed me as far as who's been correct on things. But here's where I disagree on that, because the problem with Pawlenty is there's a direct line A to B here. You were governor, so that's the position you're running for again. You sucked at being governor. Now you want to be governor again. It's a straight A of Maine. Coleman, mayor of St. Paul, senator, he can kind of push aside his bad elements, but, you know, I think he would have – I actually think he'd do better. I still don't think he'd win, and I don't know. I don't even know if he'd beat Jeff Johnson. The one name that is, I think is another one that's interesting is maybe Mary Pawlenty, Tim's wife. There was a while that she was thinking about possibly running, but, you know, she's decided against it. You know, there's that name recognition thing. You know, you would say to yourself, oh, well, that maybe not the best name recognition. It didn't hurt George W., did it? It didn't hurt W. at all. So, I don't know. I know Pawlenty has got a war chest. He has got Wall Street insiders and corporate insiders salivating at chopping up Minnesota to the highest corporate bidder. So he is going to be bankrolled like you wouldn't believe. But I just don't think he's got the popularity. You know, he's the guy that's around the high school that's putting up all the real pretty signs, but ends up losing by 10 points to the guy that basically just made one photocopy and put it up by the lunchroom. So 952-946-6205. Brings up another interesting idea. Speaking of races here, and I don't quite know what to think about this. Former Minnesota Governor Arne Carlson, a Republican, has endorsed Richard Painter as he runs as a Democrat to the U.S. Senate seat left vacant by Al Franken. It's Tina Smith's Senate seat. You guys, you know, at CCO, it's Tina Smith's Senate seat. Stop it. Stop it. What is wrong with you guys at CCO? It's Tina Smith. She's the human being who is in the Senate seat right now, and she is announcing she's rerunning for that seat. There you go. It's Tina Smith's seat. You can leave former Senator Franken out of the equation completely. Painter's campaign celebrated the crossover endorsement Monday, saying it showed the 56-year-old's strength as a candidate in the general election. I'm excited about his candidacy, Carlson added. Painter, a former ethics lawyer for President George W. Bush, announced last month he'd be running for U.S. Senate, left open, once again, left open by Franken's departure. It's Tina Smith's seat. You mean the way they write these things makes it seem like there's no one there. You know, it's not Egg or Ann from Arrested Development, for good sakes. It's Senator Tina Smith. She is in there. She is making bills. She is doing things. She is working for Minnesota. Your continued reluctance to acknowledge that shows me a lot about you, WCCO. It really does. Democrat against the incumbent, Tina Smith. Here we go. What is it? Fifth or sixth sentence in, she finally mentions the incumbent is Tina Smith. Really? 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 Karen Housley is a Republican challenger. The Republican Party has really gone on their way to the deep end, very far away from the values of how the Republican Party of Arne Carlson and other moderates, Painter said on CCO Sunday morning. And now we're backing President Trump, it's unacceptable for democracy that is happening in the country. In a recent blog post, Carlson noted that all three candidates for the Senate seat have a problem with name recognition, which could pose a particular big obstacle for Smith. But the bottom line is simple. The former governor wrote, the Senate seat is up for grabs. Although Smith is the incumbent, this will be a first election that she was appointed by the Senate by Governor Mark Dayton. Prior to serving in Washington, she was Dayton's lieutenant governor. Call CCO and let them know that Senator Tina Smith is the senator in that seat. Okay? They don't need to write Painter's press releases or the Republicans' press releases, nor do they have to put Franken in the story to keep people reading it. Okay? For God's sakes, people. But it does bring up an interesting other point that I could bring. I wanted to mention. Arne Carlson is not a Democrat. We've had him on the show. He's a nice guy. He really is a nice guy. We don't agree on politics, but he's a nice guy. And he, even though the party has clearly jettisoned him, he still considers himself a Republican. How does that make you feel as a Democrat? Because what we've talked about this idea is that, you know, it's you know, Richard Painter is very well liked within some circles of the Democratic Party. He's been an outspoken critic of Trump. He has been very vocal against the guy. And in a day and age where most Republicans are gutless wonders, he's been one of the few guys to step up. And yeah, he does seem like he's from that Arnie Carlson edge of the Republican Party, which does make me ask the question, why the heck you guys, even most of the Republicans that are in that edge, why you're even voting for Trump and the Republicans today, because it so doesn't represent who you are. But do you just allow anyone who doesn't like Trump to basically jump into the race as a Democrat? And, you know, we had Mike McEntee, and the interview is available on the SoundCloud page, I believe. Correct, Brett? I believe the interview with Painter's on the SoundCloud page.
Yep, we have that up, best of interviews.
He does have some points there that are very progressive. Absolutely. They're undeniable. If he follows through on them, that's, you know, what he's talking right now is you know, is progressive. But would Governor Arnie Carlson really back a progressive? It's an interesting question, isn't it? 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. I'm staying neutral on the thing. I'm not picking one way or the other. I'm just bringing the point up that I don't know how much that helps you with the Republicans or with the Democrats to have a Republican former governor basically endorse him who still considers himself a Republican. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
Someone asked if I really do love my Rudy Luther Toyota Sienna as much as I say I do. Well, this week I've got groceries, a Target run, 7 sports practices with carpooling for 4 of them, 2 games, 3 music lessons, 4-H, dance, helping a friend move. We'll also probably have 3 play dates. I'll have to drive to work and I'll have at least 1 weekend family outing. Yes, it's a lot, but I get to do it all in relaxing comfort and style. Yes, I do love my Sienna, and you can fall in love for yourself at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169.
The fine folks at Common Good Books will help you find the perfect book for you or the book lover in your life. Find a huge selection from a locally owned and independent bookseller in the Twin Cities. They are always bringing in top authors from around the globe for special in-store events. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Find Common Good Books at 38 South Snelling Avenue in St. Paul or shop online at commongoodbooks.com.
Hi, this is Laura with Food Freedom Radio.
And I'm Karen. Join us every Saturday at 8 a.m. It's all about food, you know, Laura.
Right, the health of the planet. You know, carbon-based farming can solve the climate crisis.
Well, because community is medicine.
And it's not about one seed to rule them all anymore.
One seed rules the world.
Yeah, let's have something else. Let's, like, worry about our individual health, our community health, the health of the planet, while eating food.
Yeah, because it's all tied to food.
So listen to Food Freedom Radio every Saturday at 8 a.m.
on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
For the record, I really do feel as if Tina Smith can win this race. I think Richard Painter could win this race. I really do. This is not about whether or not I think the Democrat can win. It's just that since Painter entered this, it's been interesting. You know, it's gotten more 50-50, but there clearly are a lot of people on the Democratic side that are not as eager or welcoming of Painter as others are. Now, once again, if you want to hear him, you can go to the SoundCloud page. We have the interview that Mike McEntee did with him last week. I'm going to try to get him on as Democrat of the Day before too long as well. But we have the interview, and you can hear his own words on this. But I would say this. I don't know if does Arnie Carlson endorsing him quell those fears or actually make me scratch my head more? I don't know. I'm kind of a little bit confused. By the way, you can sponsor the radio station like Todd Coled did. Todd is, of course, a great listener. Todd was here in Minnesota. Todd moved to Spain. Ola. Now, he is over there, but he still listens to the station here, and he wants to keep sponsoring it because he knows how important it is. He, of course, is a great musician. Just Folk is his the name of the band. Protest to Survive is the video. I'll link to that a little bit later on. You can get the music at justfolk.bandcamp.com. That's Just Folk, justfolk.bandcamp.com. You can listen to the music there as well. Thank you very much, Todd. If you'd like to sponsor AM 950, 952-946-8885 for more information. Full phone lines. Let's run them. Gary is in Minneapolis. Welcome on in.
Yeah, Matt, you know, when UAW is pushing for health insurance for their employees, they wanted a good, clean system, but the employers, the bosses said, you got to take what we give you, this employer-based greedy system, so that's the best they could get. And so then years later, I heard on Hartman's program that, you know, I always heard the auto company executive say, we can't compete with overseas because we got to pay all this money for health care.
Well, Gary, I'm gonna jump in here. I mean, it's not that that's not important here, but I got all the rest of the phone lines want to talk about Tina Smith and Painter, what we were talking about earlier. So I appreciate your passion. Thank you very much for the call. Ruth is in Maple Grove. I want to give these calls a chance to vocalize their opinion here before we get to the end of the show. Hey, Ruth, thanks for holding.
Hey, Matt, thanks. I just was going to say, and I've only gone to his page online, and I haven't really read it completely, but my Twitter friend has told me, because she follows him very, very much, and he's against the PolyMet mine, which I believe Tina Smith is for or has been for so far, along with Amy Klobuchar. And he's also for single payer, which I don't believe she goes along with. He's very outspoken. He said he would sell his investments if they seem to, line with what he needs to vote for. And he doesn't diss Tina. He doesn't disrespect her at all. He just is very outspoken about what his ideas are. So I don't know. I really kind of feel like we need to give him a chance.
Well, and Ruth, I appreciate this. The people who are disrespecting Tina Smith are the media in this damn town that don't want to acknowledge the fact that she's a sitting senator for the state, for goodness sakes. No, Painter has not, been critical on that level. And by the way, and this is something I mentioned when he announced, the single-payer health care, that actually is a Republican initiative. Mitt Romney, Massachusetts. And that is, if you were Trump when he was campaigning and you wanted to get cheaper, better coverage, the only way you could make Obamacare cheaper, better coverage was single payer. So I just think Painter's embracing an issue which at one point was a moderate Republican issue, but now has become a definitely Democratic issue. He does have some definitive progressive ideas on that. That's for sure. Cheryl is in Minneapolis. She wanted to chime in on Smith and Painter. Welcome on in, Cheryl.
Yes, Matt. I do not think we give Richard Painter a chance. I mean, we're from Minnesota. We have enough blue-blooded, democratic, progressive candidates that we do not need a red-blooded Democrat now. And I hear him. He talks a good game. But number one, I don't trust him. And number two, you don't change your there's certain democratic principles that the Democratic Party stands for, and I don't think you turn from a Republican to a Democrat that easily.
You know,
so
Cheryl,
I say no. Let's go, Tina, and let's give this. I mean, he sounds good, but no, it's not right.
And Cheryl, one thing I will say here is that I'll say that as far as trusting him, the guy has been one of the former Republicans who has been bashing the living daylights out of Trump. That's undeniable. It's not like he has shied away from that. So I think his frustration with Trump and the Republican Party is very palatable and valid, all right? Now, whether or not, I mean, I brought this up with Norm Coleman. Norm Coleman became a Republican, and I said, wait a minute here, you just shed all your issues overnight and became a Republican? I don't know. I will say this, regardless of who becomes the nominee, if Tina Smith goes back to take another, time with her seat, or if Painter becomes the nominee, I'm voting Democrat. There's not a real question here. That's a no-brainer. But it is an interesting question. And like I said, I don't know if what Arnie Carlson clarifies or mystifies. That's the question on that one. Mike McAtee's up next. Till tomorrow. See ya.